Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good morning. It's good to have yous here. Roch here on Read the Word. If you was a part of my life. Growing up, I've known how to enjoy the words that I just said. Because I lived in Kentucky. And I lived in an area of Kentucky where they enjoyed their southern drawl, exactly how they said it. And they honestly thought that you were a little weird if you didn't. And so the reality is you got to see another whole side of life that other people don't get to see. And, you know, I have a dear friend. He was one of my first roommates when I went to school in Kentucky. And his name is Brother Gary Sparks. And Gary's a wonderful man of God. I mean, just truly. And I don't know, Gary, how long you been preaching in Pikeville? Quite a while, I'm sure. Like 35 years or something. But Gary had such a different language. It took me 3 weeks to even figure out what he said. I was from northern Michigan, and he was from southern eastern Kentucky. And those two dialects just did not match. His lips with my ears, it was like, that is the strangest language I have ever heard. But after a while, it just becomes part of it. One more story. We got some good reading today, but one more Kentucky story. I was with my dear friend Titus Boggs, mighty God, way down in eastern Kentucky, way down, like 9 miles from the Virginia border or something like that, way down there. City called Harlan. And he lived in Big Laurel. And they had a little store there in Big Laurel. And if you went into that store, which is where I bought my food, when you left, as soon as you were done paying for your food and it was bagged, you had to say, y'all come see me now. And I'm thinking, there's always 8 or 10 guys standing in there, and I'm thinking, Lord have mercy, what am I going to do if all these people show up at where I'm staying? I was living in a gymnasium.
Really?
From the ministry, and they had a little bit of living quarters there, a couple of beds and stove in the shower, you know. And I used to think, I ain't saying that, so I'd get them all talking, you know, they'd all be talking. I'd slink out the door. I just said, you're going to have to say it, man. I'm like, I don't want to say that. What if they all come over? He goes, they ain't going to come over, man. That's just what we say. So next time I went, I said it, and all the old guys nodded like, yeah, he's got it. You can be a part of it. All right, one more Titus story, because it was an interesting experience. They had a bathroom upstairs where I was at, and then they had a really nice shower downstairs. The downstairs was kind of, had an open door. It wasn't sealed. I'm showering, you know, I like that shower down there. And one day Titus said, you know, yeah, you shower downstairs and all? I'm like, yeah. He goes, do you keep your eyes open? I'm like, well, probably not when I'm shampooing my hair. Why? He goes, well, there's snakes are down there quite often. Now, he's not talking about a little garter snake like we see in northern Michigan. He's talking about copperheads and big old rattlesnakes, two-foot-long rattlesnakes. So I didn't shower down there anymore. I didn't want to be in that vulnerable position and then see a big old two-foot-long rattlesnake. Oh, gee. Anyways, aren't you glad I told you those stories tonight? I mean, it's wonderful. So here we go. Let's get started. We got a good set of verses tonight. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
I receive his word tonight.
I receive his word tonight.
And plant it as a seed. In the soil of my heart.
In the soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus, my
name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to Read the Word. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blinded from birth. Disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, I know we're reading it in another one of the references, but it's like, well, I already read this. But that's all right. Let's read it again. Let's enjoy this together. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And then Jesus just says this, but remember, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. So this next verse almost seems disconnected. It's not, because it's what the Father wanted to say. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. That's a powerful verse. Guys, we're almost there. And that trumpet's going to sound. And we've got to be in God, walking in God, helping everybody know all around us. Five, long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with his saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now pause. Jesus spit was his DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And he mixed it in the dirt, which is what we're made of. And he put it on his eyes. And his whole healing prayer was, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So we got to get this down. That you got to hear what the Father says, because there's nothing else being said here except go wash. Verse 8, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. He said, I'm he. I love all these guys. Right. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I think that's so amazing because he's blind.
Yeah.
But go to the pool of Siloam. Now, how do you know how to get there?
15.
See you now, Doug. Put his GPS on, step left, step right. So I went to... I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then they said to him, well, where is he? He said, I do not know. Then they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Oh, Jesus. You don't want to be brought to the Pharisees. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such a thing? And there was a division among the Pharisees. Spirit of religion always brings division. 17. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. He said, he's a prophet. I love this story. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes? We do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. Everybody's believing except the Pharisees, and they're choosing not to believe. This is too powerful a testimony to not believe. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. 23, therefore his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. He's getting ready to punch somebody. He's taking my healing away from me. 26. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? They're jealous. He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want me to say it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? He's speaking by the Spirit of God, right?
Yeah.
Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Right? Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could get this. This is the blind man prophesying to the skilled leaders of the law. And I'm telling you, this is how seriously determined some people are to be religious and not receive God. And Jesus said, how often you reject the word of God for your own commandments. This is exactly what we said last night in our program. Romans chapter 1, nobody will have an excuse. Nobody's going to have an excuse. Why? Because nature itself, this guy's miracle, will judge every one of those men that stood there, and they're already burning in hell if they didn't repent. And they'll be judged on judgment day. 34, they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us? And they cast him out. Verse 35, 5, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you now. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Wow. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, duh. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Bam.
You didn't know any better, but you did.
There it is. John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. I think this is my most favorite chapter on page 1390. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, that's the same as a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Had a building. It's large enough for all the sheep to get in. And it didn't have a roof, but it was a building, and it had a door to keep the wolves away from it, sheepfold. And there was a guy that stayed there and kept the doors. And his duty was to sleep in the day and then watch it at night. So if a wolf came, everybody's protected. And an important step here. So Jesus is saying, you don't enter by the door, who is Jesus, and you're a thief and a robber that would come up over the wall. Verse 4, when he goes out, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Which is what's wrong with many people in the church, is you listen to too many voices, that there's a strange voice. When you hear the voice of your shepherd, you're not hearing the right voice. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. I did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, if you're reading in the New King James, you see that I just skipped the two words, does not come. Why do they have it in there? Because the thief is coming. And it's just one of those double negative deals that you don't change the word if you just take a double negative out and say it like it was supposed to be said in the beginning. It's just the King Jamesy way to speak. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he's not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Wow. Hireling flees because he's a hireling. And he doesn't care about the sheep. A lot of people that come around the church that leave, and they're hirelings, they don't care about the sheep. They would not give their life for the sheep. 14. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Powerful set of verses. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. Many of them said, he has a demon in his man. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Obviously not, the Pharisees weren't. They have a demon. 22. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? You are the Christ. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They're telling me. And you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given me them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Look at verse 30. I and my Father are one. And then you can correlate that to John 17, where Jesus said, I pray that these and all who hear them may be one with you and me as we are one. See, you not only just, it's not that you miss hell. You return to the relationship with God our Father, who put you in your mama's womb when you were conceived. And he wrote a book with your name on it, designed to lead you through your family. You literally get to become one, God the Father, God the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so amazing. 31. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. And they would say it in that weird voice because it's a demon's voice. Because you being a man, make yourself God. I love this answer. 34. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law? I said, that's Jesus, wrote it in the law, and he's quoting it. I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, that's not too hard to understand. Is it? Not hard to understand. 39. Therefore, they sought again to seize him. But he escaped out of their hands. They went and grabbed him. Thou art a fool to grab the Christ. Verse 40. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. And there he stayed. Many came And he said, John performed no sign. But all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. I want you to see something in my circle of wagons. This is the point where we always say, circle the wagons. Jesus used this blind man to expose the wicked heart of the Pharisees. And I want you to look at what his parents said. His parents said, ask of him, he'll speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be cut out of the synagogue. Do you know how many people today don't want to leave a church because or they don't want to say something bold about God, and they come to a new revelation because they're afraid they're going to be put out of the church? Just get out of that church. If they're going to give you the left foot of fellowship because you get a greater revelation, you don't need to be there anyway. I don't care if Aunt Martha, Uncle Bill, and Aunt Sadie all go there. It doesn't matter. Your great-great-grandpa that came over on the Mayflower could have started the church. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be there. If you're not in the leadership to change it, get somewhere where there's life. You've got to go to church and receive life. The whole purpose of going to church is to receive the presence and the power of God. And these people had to make a decision. I bet there'd be moving. Better be moving. And whether they were put out of the synagogue or not, you finally have to come to the point where you say, you know, these people don't believe what I believe. Why am I hanging out with them? You literally have to get to that point. And then when you step out, because God gives you revelation and understanding, when you step out, man, all of a sudden great peace and strength and power comes. And there's a whole new promotion level as you step up. I'm saying this on purpose for somebody tonight, I can tell. You don't leave because they got the wrong color carpet. Or it's too hot or it's too cold. The only reason you leave is because God Almighty said, I need you to go from here over there. Go tell your pastor you want to leave with his blessing. I need you over here. You know, God does that. But it's done with the covering of the pastor you're leaving and the pastor where you're going. And it goes, and it happens from a heart of love for God, not because you're mad, angry, hurt, sad, or any of the rest of those things that are human emotions that happen wherever there's church. Wow, somebody's going to be blessed tonight and be set free. Don't just leave the church because you got hurt feelings. Grow up. Get over yourself. We got to put up with you just like you got to put up with us. That's pretty good preaching. They're going to tell you not to believe. You're probably going to have to not worship with them because they will affect the revelation that God gave you. Do not cast your pearls before swine or dogs. And if you might be like, wow, Pastor, what are you doing? Jesus had to get that guy and say, get out of here. Don't come back and be with these people. Why? Because they were going to destroy his faith. Going into that synagogue. Well, where did they go? Probably somewhere where Jesus had started a little gathering of believers. And they were all hanging out saying, just believe it. We're going to get some more revelation. And they were teaching things that Jesus already taught, because that's what's happened ever since Jesus began to teach. The gospel went all the way across the whole known world. And Jesus reminded me. Well, let's pray the prayer of salvation. We want to always give everyone that comes a chance to be right with God, become a believer, become a Christian. Pray the prayer of salvation. Make your public confession. People have all kinds of things that they say. If you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart, as we lead you into it, in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. It's amazing to be able to say, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Prayer's never failed. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
If I believe in you.
If I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not
perish. And I will not perish.
Here's your point. Make a bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day.
Put your arms out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life right now.
Jesus, I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sin, Jesus.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of
Pray
God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a believer
life.
Every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here with us. We're glad to have you here with us. Thank you for being here. And you might be saying, man, Pastor, what just happened to me? Because something's going on inside of me. You are being transformed from darkness into light right now. Jesus is inside of you. Manifesting himself as the author and finisher of your faith. Your faith just started when you said, I receive you into my life. Your faith started. So that was probably about 11:19 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your faith started. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. You just went from darkness to light, fear to faith, and from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. And then you said, fill me with the fullness of God, and he did. And then you said, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and he did. You just got a pretty good thing happening to you right there when your first prayer you ever prayed in the kingdom. Wow. All that just happened to me? Yep. Now, walk with God as a believer. Say that with me. I choose to walk with God
as a
believer.
As a believer.
Don't worry about all the Christian rules and regulations. You don't need that. Walk with God as a believer every day, and he will automatically help you walk just like you're supposed to walk. You don't need me there teaching you, because God lives in here now. He lives in you, and he's going to be leading you from the inside out. Talk to him every day, just like he's your father. And why? Because he is your father. When you wake up in the morning, laying on your bed, say, Jesus, help me walk with you today. What's he going to say? I'm busy. No, he's omnipresent. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and he's omnipotent. I've lived at that level. I haven't used that word in a while. And he's omnipotent, which means all-powerful. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across this earth, seeking someone who he may show himself strong in behalf of those who will believe in him and walk with him. God our Father now lives in you. He wants you to walk with him every day. hit like, subscribe, and ring the bell. Join with us. We not only have Read the Word program, if you go right, but what happened to the video? If you go right down there in the comments or the notes of this program, you'll find an email address. Send me an email. Tell me your story. Ask me a question. Give me a prayer request. Ask me a lot of questions. Ask me all the questions that you want answered. Well, Pastor, what if somebody else has already answered them? Because the more people that ask them, the more I say it, the more we create the material that you need to be a solid, powerful, born-again Christian. And I had a question come to me about 3 weeks ago. And it was such a good question. We preached on it for 2 weeks solid. We really did. And man, did God give us revelation about the righteousness of God and the blood of Jesus. So we're here for you in Jesus' mighty name. Well, till we see you again, which tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, we'll be live right here with the prayer program. And then tomorrow night, we'll be back for our discipleship process in Jesus' name. Excuse me. And until we see you again, this is what we say every day. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you again real soon. Share this with everybody you know, because it'll be a blessing to you.